And we're back. Ernie Yarbrough filling in for Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative, and just plain right. Well, we have in this first of our Triple Dippers talking about recovering sanity from the bottom up. And, you know, one of the things I enjoy doing, my first session, I was privileged to give a book to all of the state legislators in Alabama called, it was by a friend of mine, Matt Trawalla, and is on called The Lesser Magistrate. You can get a copy at defytyrants.com. Great book on how it's imperative when the higher magistrate gives an unlawful, immoral, illegal, law-breaking order, lesser magistrate has the right to stand in the gap and say, nope, we're not doing that. People back him up. And what do you have? You have righteous, bloodless, nonviolent disobedience that forces legal, lawful, constitutional change. Well, this past session, I was privileged to give a book, a small book. Got to give small books, right? So hopefully, they'll get read. But The Law by Frederick Bastiat. And I've got on here today, there's a couple parts I think are great. The whole book is amazing. Highly recommend you get a copy of it and read it. But I brought on today for now through the rest to the top of the hour, my dad, Tim Yarbrough, to talk about this for a few minutes. So, Dad, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ernie. Thank you for having me on.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Well, let's hop right into it, Dad. Obviously, you're my dad. I love you. You've been a huge influence in my life. You're the person that put me on this book many years ago. And there are a couple of parts. We were just talking about recovering sanity from the bottom up. And there was one part in particular that I mentioned to you, and you've got another part to share for some conversation in the second part of this segment, getting us to the top of the hour. But just wanted to take a minute, have you share just a hot take real quick on what this book's about. And then let's talk about this first section of the book that he mentions about the guy who runs for office values the individual until he gets elected, and then there's a change. So go ahead and tell us about who Bastiat was and a little bit about the book.
Well, Frederick Bastiat was a young legislator in France. This particular book came out in the year 1850, and it is probably the single greatest treatise on the issue of liberty and freedom that an individual will ever read. It's extremely incisive, and he's very pointed. He gets right to the heart of matters very quickly. And as you know, this was when you children were growing up, this was just a part of our conversation. I don't know how many times that y'all heard me quote from Bastiat and in the conversations that we had with many people over the years in regards to the principles that Bastiat elucidated in this little booklet. There's a version of it by the FEE, Foundation for Economic Education, and another one that's inclusive in more detailed writings of Bastiat from libertyfund.org. Once you read The Law, you will want to dig into a greater depth of Bastiat's thinking if you're intrigued by people who think deeply on these issues.
Well, that's very true. The way he writes is so powerful. It's concise. It's short. But, man, it's like you can just read a sentence or two or a paragraph. You could chew on that for a day or two, especially when you think about how, you know, in the context of modern thought, you know, we tend to be a little bit more towards being, you know, maybe a mile wide but a half inch deep at best. And he has a way of just really making the issues insightful and clear, and then you understand, okay, you know, if we're going to change this area, that area, we're going to have to fundamentally at the principle level change our root principles, how we're thinking, and the things that we're prioritizing in our lives. And so yeah, that's fantastic. It was part of our grown-up conversation for sure. So Dad, take a moment and share this first section that we'll talk about for the remainder of this section in regards to his you know, it's written in the 1800s, but it's right up to date with politicians today.
Well, yeah, let me just read what Bastiat wrote, because he says it so much better than
sure.
I'm capable of reinterpreting it for him. But this has to do with what he calls a Democrat would be what we call a socialist in our day. So the principles are the same, just the terminology has changed some. But here's what Bastiat had to say, and this is in relationship to a man running for office and his viewpoint of the people, and then a man who is elected to office and his view of the people. Bastiat said, "What is the attitude of the Democrat when political rights are under discussion? How does he regard the people when a legislator is to be chosen? Ah, then it is claimed that the people have an instinctive wisdom. They are gifted with the finest perception. Their will is always right. The general will cannot err. Voting cannot be too universal. When it is time to vote, apparently the voter is not to be asked for any guarantee of his wisdom. His will and capacity to choose wisely are taken for granted. Can the people be mistaken? Are we not living in an age of enlightenment? What? Are the people always to be kept on leashes? Have they not won their rights by great effort and sacrifice? Have they not given ample proof of their intelligence and wisdom? Are they not adults? Are they not capable of judging for themselves? Do they not know what is best for themselves? Is there a class or a man who would be so bold as to set himself above the people and judge and act for them? No. The people are and should be free. They desire to manage their own affairs, and they shall do so. Now, we finished the first part. Now, let's go to the second part here. Quoting Bastiat, "But when the legislator is finally elected, then indeed does the tone of his speech undergo a radical change. The people are returned to passiveness, inertness, and unconsciousness. The legislator enters into omnipotence. Now it is for him to initiate, to direct, to propel, and to organize. Mankind has only to submit. The hour of despotism has struck. We now observe this fatal idea. The people who, during the election, were so wise, so moral, and so perfect, now have no tendencies whatever. Or if they have any, they are tendencies that lead downward into degradation."
Wow.
And this is Bastiat's view of that. And, of course, what happened with this is that when men get into positions of where there is the potential exercise of power, and particularly as it relates to civil government, the state becomes the great fiction in which they can play out their desires to mold mankind after their own image. And this was the point that Bastiat was driving at, and it is a fatal tendency.
It has
always destroyed cultures and society.
That's right. That's a great point that you make about when they get into power, they want to make man in their own image. You know, we had the opening monologue about the Tale of Two Chiefs and really the Battle of Genesis 1, 2, and 3, right? And that we're made in the image of God. I'm wearing this hat, Imago Dei, right now in the studio live, image of God, image bearer of God. We're made in the image of God. And so, but, you know, man, it's not like people who exercise power in a tyrannical way don't believe in men being image bearers. They just want men to be image bearers of themselves. You know, but it's so funny you make the point there, or Bastiat does. It's so true. Like, here are the guys running for office. Oh, the people are so smart. You know, lower taxes, less government overreach. You know, I'm pro-life, I'm pro-gun, whatever, right? And then people get elected, and what's so much of the common perception? The common perception is the person becomes divorced from the as it were, the customer base, right? His constituents, the people he swore an oath to uphold and defend, support, and to be their voice. And instead now, you know, what happens? Well, they really don't understand. You need to understand what you hear. And here's a phrase you might hear is, well, you need to be a team player. Right. Well, now there's truth to that, obviously, in the sense that there's teamwork makes a dream work, but not in the sense that if it requires you to break with your fundamental principles, right? There's a give and take in a lot of things in life, but when it comes to your fundamental principles, he hits the nail on the head. You know, you run for office and you see this in Alabama. I mean, Dad, you get these mailers in the mail about, you know, hey, I vote for me. I'm pro-life. I'm pro-gun. I'm whatever, right? But what happens, it seems like in my experience so far, and I see some of it, why the influence of non-elected entities, whether it's lobbyists or whatever, they, you know, if anything tries to get between the voice of the people that that sent the person to Montgomery and the person who's there doing the job, you know, then that's a problem. And we see that the politician, you know, like he's the specialist, right? He's the expert now that before the people were, but now it's not the case, right? Now it's something different. You know, as a person who is a lay person, I mean, I'm sure, Dad, you've seen this before too, where politicians do this before election and then after election.
Oh, my entire adult life. And sadly, particularly being here in Alabama, it has been mostly manifested by those who are professing Christians. Mm. They will run for the legislature because they have a righteous desire to see good things, righteous things done. Mm. And then when they get into office, they get seduced by the temptation of power and authority and so forth. And then they begin small compromises, and in my experience, within about 2 years, what happens is they become part of the machine. And Bastiat deals with, in this little book, an incredibly descriptive manner, the destructiveness of party politics. Now, we don't like to talk about that, but when you have a party that says to you, pledge yourself to the party instead of pledging yourself to liberty, to freedom, to upholding law, you are on a course of disaster because that is the intent of that is to divide the culture and law and to put power in the hands of men who want to convince you that that's somehow a remarkably good idea.
That's right. And then what happens,
and
like we were talking about.
Not.
Yeah. And then what happens is you get these caste warfare, class warfare, identity politics, and all that ends up at the top having the heads of both these parties collaborating together for centralized power. And the reality is that when you have legislators elected who maintain their principles and who push through, you know, some of it can be. I mean, it's tons of pressure. You know, you're having to learn. There is a lot of complicated things that you're trying to understand. You're trying to figure out. But through that, it's been so important to reach back into my covenant community, my family, my wife, you, Dad, other people who hold my feet to the fire and say, hey, don't forget your North Star. Right, when the storms are raging, when there's uncertainty, when you don't know which way is up sometimes, and don't forget, sit down, take the break, come up for air, look at the compass. What's the North Star? What is the direction? What's the promises you made? What's Article 1, Section 35 of the state constitution say, right? That the sole object, the only legitimate end of government is life, liberty, is defending the citizens' life, liberty, and enjoyment of property, right? When government abuses these, it's usurpation, it's oppression. And so that's a huge, having that covenant community for me is very rooting and grounding. It helps me navigate what can be a very intimidating, challenging, or overwhelming experience, especially as a new legislator, I think is really, really tough and really challenging. But we're going to come back here in just a minute. We're going to get ready for a short break here. We're going to come back in about 5 minutes and get back with my dad for part two of Bastiat as we continue this discussion to the top of the hour on recovering sanity from the bottom up. Alabama syndicated news talk. We are Right Side Radio. Ernie Yarbrough filling in for the one and only Phil Williams, live from the Right Side studio, local, state, national, all the issues, solid conservative, and just plain right. We're back online here with Tim Yarbrough. Yes, same last name as me because he's my dad. Talking about recovering sanity from the bottom up. We are in the last section there. We're talking about Frederick Bastiat and the funny thing that happens about a person when they run crazy, written 1800s, right up to date. They run for office when they want the vote. People are wise. People know the issues. People got a grasp on reality. They get elected and, well, actually, there's actually not so much. Like, I'm part of the machine now. I got to do what the machine says. Got to vote a certain way. I'm not going to really be hardcore on some of these fundamental things, principles, right? It's a battle that we all face. We're all aware of it. Constituents, people, they know this is an issue. They talk about this all the time, something that we've got to be aware of. And so, Dad, welcome back. And I think you've got another piece that you'd like to share with us from Bastiat for a few minutes of conversation here.
Yeah, this has to do with Bastiat's incredibly incisive review of the difference regarding plunder in its two categories as he identifies them, One is illegal plunder, and the other is legal plunder. Mm. And plunder has to do with property. In the march of mankind in history, the key to liberty and freedom is the inviolability of property and the rights of property. In fact, when you read the Ten Commandments, you will discover that six of them are directly related to the issue of property. But Basquiat deals with this issue of illegal plunder and legal plunder. And here's what he says. If you want to know how to identify it, he asks this question, but how is this legal plunder to be identified? And by legal plunder, what he means is that the law allows it. Hmm. How is this legal plunder to be identified? Quite simply, listen to this incredible definition. See if the law takes from some persons what belongs to them and gives it to other persons to whom it does not belong. Hmm. See if the law benefits one citizen at the expense of another by doing what the citizen himself cannot do without committing a crime. That definition is just incredibly rich, and it's a great principle standpoint to evaluate legislative activity, as well as the machinations of how civil government works from a federal, state, local level. And then Basquiat makes the argument that socialists desire to practice legal plunder, not illegal plunder. They want the law to advocate for legal plunder. And he points out that there are three ways in which plunder can be addressed by a society. One, the few plunder the many. Two, everybody plunders everybody. Or three, nobody plunders anybody.
Wow.
And so he put those under three categories: limited legal plunder, universal legal plunder, and no legal plunder. And in all cases, what happens is he makes the argument that if the law approves of plunder, that becomes the new moral standard, because men are prone to accept the law as being morally righteous, whether that's true or not. It is he calls it the seductive lure of socialism. This is, years ago, I was able to develop a process, and Ernie, you've heard this many times. How do you know that a person is conservative? And here's what my suggestion would be to my fellow citizens in Alabama, as well as in other places. No matter what an individual who is in legislative position says, ask yourself these questions and ask them these questions. Number one, what legislation have you introduced or supported which actually reduces the size of government? Number two, what legislation have you introduced or supported which actually reduces the cost of government? Not limits it from its increase, but actually reduces it. These are great questions to ask our legislators, and by their answer, you will know whether or not they are a rhetorical conservative, or are they an actual conservative in the way that they fulfill the responsibilities of their position.
Wow, that is powerful. We got a break coming up, but what a great food for thought there. Actual conservative. Do we reduce the size of government? Do we reduce the scope of government, the spending of government? Frederick Basquiat bringing in the hammer, laying down the law. Literally, that's the title of the book, The Law by Frederick Basquiat. Fantastic thought, food for thought. Thank you, Dad, for coming on. Thank you for sharing. We'll be back at the top of the hour for a whole hour conversation on the state of pro-life and IVF in Alabama.